This is, know nothing of the desert, but the fear of being lost. A Star Wars prequel trilogy, Star Wars Clone Wars era fanfic, written by Ghostwriter of the Machine and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and is Gen. The author has chosen not to use archive warnings for this work. Additional tags for slavery, family, father-son relationship, father-daughter relationship, angst and hurt comfort, womp, Anakin Skywalker needs a hug, alternate universe, canon divergence, Clone Wars era, Anakin Skywalker doesn't turn to the dark side, protectiveness, heavy angst, implied harm to children, the Force, dreams versus reality, uncertain reality, nightmares, abandoned work, unfinished and discontinued, unresolved ending. Summary. On a tiny desert planet on the Outer Rim, Anakin Skywalker has his children and survives, same way he's always done. Or, no, On a tiny desert planet on the Outer Rim, Anakin Skywalker has his children and survives, same way he's always done. Author's notes. Please note, this work is unfinished and more than likely never will be finished. I am very, very burnt out on Star Wars as a media and a fandom space, and I'm expecting to take a fairly long hiatus from writing in it. That hiatus has mostly already started, to be honest, as you can tell from glancing through my recent AO3 works. I wrote this over a year ago, and had about 15k plotted out for it, but my muse for the idea hardcore left me and never came back. That being said, I really do like this beginning part, and I was cleaning out my Google Docs folder and decided that I might as well toss this up for people to read if they want to. Before you read, please look at the tags, which are both there for a reason and not fucking around. Also, if you have problems with unreality, derealization, anxiety, this might not be the fic for you. Please note, again, that this fic is also unfinished and leaves many things unresolved. Please enjoy! Anakin was curled with his back to the door when he slowly began to climb his way to wakefulness. He faced the wall, arms bundled under his head, sweat from both sticking them together. Why was it so hot? His eyes blinked open. Oh, that was why. The blazing sun and dry heat of Tatooine dawn illuminated the room. Anakin reached up to rub the sleep out of his eyes, careful not to wake the other little bodies so close to him. Tucked into the tiny, protected crevice he'd made, between his body and the wall, his twins were tangled together and still deep in sleep. They'd ended up swaddled up in their blanket during the night, little hands joined between them. Luke's other hand was in his mouth. Leia's hair stuck to her face. He stared at them for a long moment, heart painfully soft. God, Anakin loved them. The only two truly good things in his adult life. Except their mother. But never mind their mother now. Anakin couldn't think about it. He couldn't dwell. There wasn't any time. Luke, he said, whisper quiet and sing-song. Leia, time to wake up, babies. Come on. He reached down and pressed a soft kiss to the top of Leia's head, then nuzzled his nose over Luke's hairline. He hated waking them. Not only because they needed more rest, not only because he was waking them up to a meager breakfast and a few sips of water. There were selfish reasons, too. When they slept, he could look at them and pretend they were children someplace far away and safe. Children whose parents woke them up to go to school in the mornings. Luke stirred first, blinked his giant eyes up at Anakin.
What a papa,
he said, pulling his hand away from Leia. It was this movement, the loss of her brother, that caused her to stir and start waking up in earnest.
Good morning, Whirlwind,
Anakin said. Bless his smiling, sweet-tempered morning person, son. Any day was beautiful for Luke, so long as he woke up in it. And every day was the best day imaginable if he got to see his sister and his papa. If he had two children who were as fussy as Leia was when just woken up, he would be late to work more often than was safe.
Master Wan says early today, right? Luke asked, and tilted Anakin right out of his gentle musings.
The words hit him directly in the gut, the way they always did. Anakin wanted to keep them here today, in this place between his body and the door. He wanted to stay a physical barrier between them and anyone who would hurt them.
Yes, said Anakin. She wants us early.
He reached out and hauled Leia to a sitting position by her arms.
Leia glared and grumbled at him like an unhappy sack of flour.
Come on, Lily, he sang out to her. Let's get your hair all done. I know how much you hate it when it gets into your eyes.
He felt a strange burn at the back of his throat, and maybe also the backs of his eyes. For a split second, his head ached dully. But he ignored it in favor of twisting his daughter's hair into braids, and the pain vanished into nothing before he even had time to consider it.
Gadula's shipyard baked in the midday heat. Anakin wore patched gloves, so the sun-heated metal didn't burn his hands. His children did their tasks in the shadow of the broken starship, thankfully shielded from at least some of the sun. Though, at the moment, Anakin was wishing both of them were even more out of sight than they were already. He squared his shoulders to the foreman, Azabrak a good head taller than him.
If you want this fixed by the deadline, he said, jerking his head toward the ship, you will let me use the Cliffin extender. I'm not going to be able to reach the valve without it.
Just have one of your mice climbing for you, sneered the Zabrak.
No, Anakin would not be doing that.
Either of his children, particularly Luke, would more than likely fit up into the tight space with ease. He could also get stuck, or trigger an explosion, or fall onto metal hot enough to melt bone. Over his dead body would Luke be going into that ship. This piece of garbage just had to let him use the extender.
Away from them, Luke is sifting through bolts and electrical parts, testing them to see if they're salvageable, and sorting them into one pile or another. Further away, Leia is checking the numbers on each of the replacement parts, comparing them to the numbers on a holoreader her father handed her. She didn't quite understand the numbers yet, but she could mark whether they matched or not.
Anakin used the heel of his hand to swipe engine grease off of his cheek. He kept his face blank and his eyes somewhere around the foreman's middle.
You always have glared like a child, said the voice of Watto in his head, the last time Anakin saw him,
before he'd been brought here.
Anakin pointedly doesn't glare this time.
I'd rather not trust something this delicate to children.
Oh, so they don't have a use?
No, they're untrained. And I don't want any mistake on this being taken out of my hide, do you?
He put just enough threat behind his words to be believable.
This ship was more valuable than any one of their lives.
Actually, Anakin was probably worth more credits-wise than this foreman, Freeman or no. He was a damn good mechanic, and Gardula was vain about her ships.
Just bring me the extender, and I can take care of it. We solid?
Don't you speak to me that way,
the foreman snarled.
but walked away to unlock the tool Anakin requested. The ship's insides were spread open for the world to see, parts littered on the ground, a scaffold set up for a mechanic to climb their way in. Anakin leaned against the scaffold and released a breath.
Stars, he was thirsty. Then the headache that haunted him since that morning threatened his temples again.
Papa? He turned and took the holoreader Leia was offering up to him. She stood on her tiptoes to do it. I finished it.
Thank you, Hurricane,
he said absently, quickly scanning the information.
You did a good job.
And brought him good news, too.
This repair should be done before deadline, with the parts they had, and the tool the foreman should be bringing him now.
Some of the heavy tension in Anakin's shoulders eased. He let his gloved hand settle on his daughter's head. She smiled up at him, and he smiled back. Anakin wanted to swing her into his arms, cuddle her close, and kiss her cheeks, but that was far too demonstrative for where they were. And what they were, now that he thought about it.
Go help your brother,
he shooed her, his eyes catching sight of the foreman returning. She darted away, and Anakin squared his shoulders again.
Took you long enough,
he called, pulling hard on the rough-talking mechanic mask, mostly to divert attention away from Leia.
You have the extender?
Midday came and went, and Rex showed up at the shipyard to pass around extra half-rations of water.
It really was that hot today, even for the season, and Anakin had the dubious honor of being valuable enough to not lose to something as mundane and unprofitable as heatstroke.
He drinks for the moisture, not the taste. Feels the coolness of it down his throat and in his mouth. He ran his fingers around the bottom of the cup to collect the last few drops and tapped them onto his temples, then turned his face to the horizon, chasing the illusion of a breeze. Rex watched this with the gruff fondness Anakin had come to expect from him. Rex was shorter than Anakin, stocky and barrel-chested, skin dark and hair blonde.
He'd been here for longer than Anakin had, acquired some time between his departure as a child and his return as a young adult.
Rex survived 3 consecutive years in Gardula's fighting pits, a feat absolutely unheard of until he did it. Now he trained new recruits for the pits, a reward for his years of service, and the absurd amount of money he'd earned her. Rex had status now. Rex was also rarely inexplicably kind, and used this status to help everyone he could. He passed on messages between Gardula's palace and the quarters that surrounded it. He brought the rounds of water rations on hot days. He listened, and he looked, and he gave warnings when warnings could be given. He'd taken Anakin under his wing when he'd been shoved back here, panicked and grieving and too angry to be safe. They didn't speak to each other when Anakin passed the cup back. The foreman was nearby, and frivolous talking was strongly discouraged when at work. But Anakin paused when both of their hands were on the cup, not letting go. He met Rex's eyes, and then let his own dart over to the twins, huddled over their pile of mechanical scrap. Eyes back to Rex, and a slight cock of his head. Rex half-smiled.
"Won't let the tags go thirsty, Skywalker,"
he muttered, as he took the cup firmly back into his own hands.
Already talked to the gals up at the shops. We've got them.
A part of Anakin twisted. Yet another debt owed. But the larger part melted in relief, and he let his lips twitch up and return Rex's smile. Then he ducked his head back to the insides of the ship.
Overhead, the two suns battled for who could burn him away first. Anakin's children were filthy when he got them back to their quarters. Most things on Tatooine were covered in a thin layer of dust, and that included people. Particularly slaves in a shipyard. Anakin dampened a cloth with a precise fraction of their water ration, and used it to clean his children's hands, and then their faces. Luke allowed this with more good humor than Leia did.
"Papa, no," she said, nose scrunched up in a pout. "I want to do it. Gimme."
"No can do, Hurricane," Anakin said,
tapping her nose with his index finger.
"This is Papa's job. You're just gonna have to live with it."
"And Papa is the best at it," chimed in Luke, who was smiling once again.
Anakin laughed.
"See? Even your brother is on my side. I am the best at it."
He got the twins settled at the table and made them dinner. Something with rice and scattered pieces of bantha meat, which his mother also used to make. His mother, who haunted the corners of his vision. His mother, going through the same motions he did now. He wondered if his twins would, years in the future, be standing here doing the same to their children in the same situation. He blinked, and the world tilted, and he thought he could see older versions of the twins, Leia's hair twisted into a single bun at the nape of her neck, serving faceless children not enough rations. His mother, and him, and his children, and his children's children, and on and on and on, moving through the same motions, never, ever escaping. The thought was so bleak that he banished it. When Luke inhaled his portion so quickly that he couldn't be anything other than ravenous, Anakin mimicked his mother again and scraped half his own serving onto his plate. Anakin got the twins settled into sleep an hour later, curled up on their pallet and tucked together with a blanket. He sits next to them, back against the wall, one arm resting on his upturned knee. The other one tangled its fingers into Luke's hair. He couldn't sleep yet. He was too hot, and his skin felt hypersensitive. Anakin hummed something under his breath, tapped his head against the wall behind him. An old, old way of self-soothing he'd never been able to break. It seemed he was blinking away ghosts tonight. They'd be banging at the door like sandstorms until he fell asleep. The phantoms of his mother, the twins' mother, a mostly forgotten face of a kind man with auburn hair, and his time with Watto, all swirled together in front of his eyes. They chased each other all over the hut. He thought he could smell the twins' mother's perfume. Perfume? What did she have? She'd have no reason to have... Leia made a quiet, fuzzy noise, and Anakin soothed it with a light hand. He needed to sleep. Being tired tomorrow wouldn't solve anything, and would more than likely just summon these ghosts faster. And then there was a knock on the door. Anakin jumped at the noise, silent, but suddenly on high alert. He pulled the blanket so it hid the twins from sight as much as conceivably possible, and carefully got to his feet. He walked to the door, cracked it open, and called.
"Who is it?"
"Me, Skywalker." Anakin was taken aback. That wasn't the voice he was expecting at all.
"Rex," he said, and pulled the doorway open just a little further. Rex was alone.
"Should I invite you in?"
A code phrase for "what's this about?" "Should I invite you in?" Do you need to be hidden? Do you need something urgently? Does someone else need me? Rex's usually kind face was unmoving and oddly stern.
That's just about here, actually, Anakin. The use of his first name froze him. Rex hadn't called him Anakin since well before the twins were born.
Anakin scanned the vicinity, always alert for a trap, but couldn't see or sense anyone but the two of them. Carefully, he stepped outside, closing the door as quietly as he could behind him. If his children woke, he would know.
"What's this about?"
he asked in an undertone. Rex shifted, deeply uncomfortable and not even trying to hide it.
"I have news."
He said this slowly, haltingly.
"And you need to know it."
Anakin felt icy hot fear spread through him.
"News."
He repeated this flatly. He put no inflection into his voice.
"Yes, listen to me."
Rex wet his lips. Sure proof that no matter where he was now, Rex had not been born on Tatooine. Anakin noted this with a faraway sharpness.
"Cardula lost a bet. A very costly bet."
"Okay," Anakin said.
"She loses bets all the time. What did she lose? One of the starships?" "She didn't bet any object. This was straight up credits. And she lost a lot of credits."
"All right." Anakin still didn't see what this had to do with him. Again, that thought came to him from far away. Rex shifted again and dug the heel of his hand into his eyes.
"She needs a lot of credits, fast. She's..."
His face twisted bitterly.
"She's liquefying a lot of assets."
Anakin repeated.
"Liquefying assets. Yeah."
Rex allows both words to fall, heavy as lead, into the dust between them. Anakin says blankly,
"So people are getting sold?"
"Yeah."
"Where are we going?"
Anakin asks, because there's only one reason why Rex would come to him with this information.
"Who else on this planet is looking for a pack of mechanics?" "Your..."
Rex's face crumples.
"Anakin, you're not going anywhere."
"I'm not?" And now Anakin was confused and couldn't figure out why Rex was here. If they weren't part of what was being liquefied...
"What, do you need help delivering the word or something? I think there are people in better positions than that."
No, Anakin, listen to me." And Rex said something. And the world went slow and silent, far away. Anakin registered that he had taken several steps backward, away from Rex. And that didn't make any sense. He liked Rex. He trusted Rex. Rex was the one who held Anakin's hand and rubbed his back when he was heaving after the twins turned 3 and got chipped. Rex passed along all the worst news, but only for kind reasons. Rex was standing in front of him now with a look of resigned anguish twisted onto his face. "Rex came here to tell him something." "Rex had just said something." "Rex said..."
A keening animal sound filled the air around them, and Anakin thought he'd already learned every tortured noise that could be drawn from his throat, but apparently not.
The words play over and over in his mind.
He couldn't understand them, because understanding them would make them true, because he can't!
Rex took two rapid steps forward, just fast enough to catch him as his knees gave out.
And then Anakin knew nothing, as the knowledge burnt through him like physical pain. His entire universe narrowed into those words and what they meant.
His children. They were selling his children away.
All right. You have 45 seconds to tell me exactly the events leading up to this. 5 sentences or less. Leave nothing out. Obi-Wan Kenobi hadn't been a general in a blessedly long time, but he hadn't forgotten how to talk like one. It was a good thing to fall back on, in situations where he felt about to panic. Considering how upset the young Explorer Corps member trotting next to him was, beginning to panic would do no one any favors.
"Master Kenobi, there really isn't much to say," her voice cracked at the end. He just touched it, and then he collapsed.
Obi-Wan took a moment to center himself. Acknowledge the feelings, let them go. Snapping or raising his voice would help a grand total of no one.
"Please,"
he said instead. The two of them swept through the halls of the old temple, her only a bit ahead of him.
"Please think back. Did he seem entranced by it? Drawn to it? Was there a reason he touched that object and not any other in the room?"
"No, Master Kenobi, just the opposite. He was just talking to us, and then he said something like, 'It'll be fun to sort through all this old junk,' and he picked up something without looking at it, and then he collapsed."
Of course he had.
And Obi-Wan could believe it, because it was his former Padawan. Well, and his former knight, he supposed. After the frankly traumatizing ending to the Clone Wars, the Chancellor's betrayal, the realization of just how close Anakin had come to falling, Anakin made the choice to step away from the Order. Be a husband and a father first, rather than a Jedi. He didn't seem unhappy with that choice. But Jedi never truly leave the Order, any more than Obi-Wan supposes most people could walk away from their families. Anakin loved their people, and they loved him back. He stayed on as a something of a consultant position, valued for his unique connection to the Force and his absurdly high sensitivity. He came to the temple to teach mechanics or flying lessons to the children, or help the Explorer Corps mess with weird Force stuff, as Ahsoka put it. Which was what he'd been doing today, helping identify artifacts in a newly uncovered part of the old temple. And then Obi-Wan got a frantic comm call. The Explorer Corps knight, who Obi-Wan was fairly sure was named Rizu, pulled him, at last, into the last chamber in the hallway. Obi-Wan froze.
"Oh, Anakin,"
Obi-Wan thought, as his heart clenched in on itself and he saw the body on the ground.
"When will you stop doing this to me?"
Anakin was crumpled into a writhing, nearly silent heap. He choked on half whimpers and gasps of breath. He was ashen gray.
"Anakin," Obi-Wan dropped to his knees before the thrashing, seizing body.
"Anakin!"
He reached out, took Anakin's face into his hands.
"Wake up, please, Padawan," he said,
running his thumbs up the familiar sweep of Anakin's cheekbones. There was no response. Though this time Obi-Wan had been expecting that.
so he dipped his head forward, pressed their foreheads together, and reached out for the always familiar glow of their training bond.
Anakin's eyes flew open, and he bucked like something had been shoved down his throat. He screamed. Obi-Wan fell backwards and cried out as well, but not from the noise.
Something about the force that surrounded Anakin was wrong.
Master Kenobi, said Rizu by the door. What should we do?
Cool the healers, Obi-Wan ground out, quickly maneuvering so that Anakin's back was pressed against his front. He wouldn't let him thrash and hurt himself. I'll stay here and watch him. Go now.
The end. Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded for Katana as part of ITPE 2022. We matched on a lot of the Star Wars prequels era stuff, and I was going through your bookmarks, and a lot of the tags on this fic kind of made me like, maybe this is going to be too much for me, but then I started skimming it anyway, because, you know, looking for gifting, and oh man, character who is in a vision or dream and thinks that's the reality and chooses to stay in the vision rather than be pulled out of it into actual reality, character who stays in the Force vision and refutes or because like that's better than what their lived reality they think, it's so good for me. The best kind of trauma, especially when it's like, are the ghosts that Anakin is seeing attempts to pull him back into his real body and out of the vision? Or is it just his own, like, his own mental landscape building the vision and things that haunt him and, like, the worst possible scenario for him to live in? I don't know. What is the mysterious Sith artifact? I don't know. It's so good for me. Will Obi-Wan be pulled back into the vision too through their force bond? Ah! I'm stuck in a vision and I want to stay here is painfully my jam. So thank you, Katana, for putting this on my radar while creeping through your bookmarks. Thank you to Ghostwriter the Machine for having blanket permission to podfic. And thank you, listener, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.